Let's take our Bibles now, and we will turn to the book of John, chapter 16. We've been looking and we've been going through this phenomenal conference that the Lord has with his disciples, first in Jerusalem, and then as they migrate to the Garden of Gethsemane, as they're walking along. And he's giving them some seeds of some great truths that are going to be filled in the book of Acts. And then, of course, doctrinally in the epistles that are going to be written later on by John and others. And so we see now that the Lord is talking and he introduces and he names now the Holy Spirit. We know this in the Old Testament, it's called the Spirit of God and so forth, but now we see that it's the Holy Spirit. We see that he's called the Paraclete, the Helper, which has many different meanings. He's a comforter, he's a convictor, he's the illuminator, you know, he's like a helper. And different translations will translate it, one of those words, but it's a combination of all those words. So which one's right? Yes, all of them. Yes, that's one of those words. The Holy Spirit is a person. And he convicts one of sin. And he comforts another of righteousness, whenever they are improving their sins, and he can help them, and he can bless her. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is a person, he's the very person of the Trinity. He convicts the world of sin. The world can't stand Christianity because they can't stand God. And so we see that Cain left the presence of God, and man has been running from God ever since. And it's just a natural end. He seems not to look in God. And so we see that natural man rejects God. So the convictor, they don't want to hear the gospel. Then there's the comforter, the convicts the world of sin. But then he also righteousness. And there again, they realize something is not there, something is beyond themselves. They're not quite right. And they gotta invent something so the world can be great. So they got to imagine it. They got to reimagine the world. No, there's no more government. There's no more. Everybody's all equal. And all these different things. And they're coming up with all those political schemes and socialist things that aren't going to work because they'll never have heaven on earth. Not through man anyway, but through the Lord Jesus. And so he convicts the world of he convicts the world of sin. He and of righteousness. And of judgment. There's something about man that realizes that there's something after this life. We mentioned in Sunday school this morning. How that even the most corrupt and the most evil people that you hear, whether it's Washington or Belvedere or Hollywood or you name the place, and whenever someone dies and they go to the funeral, there's a eulogy, they'll start talking about that person watching this now, you know, and they'll talk about what they're watching for a while. So they realize that even man in the back of his mind realizes that, you know, this world is not, or life doesn't end at the end of this world. In other words, at the end of this life, or that we know it as a physical life. And so man has a God-sized vacuum in his heart. Something is filled. And of course, that's the reason the Lord is a comforter. Because we know that the Lord comes and he will guide us. And he will call him in the truth. It's the Holy Spirit. No man comes to the Father, the Holy Spirit calls him. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is the active member of our salvation. As he calls us to salvation and calls others. And that's what we're praying for. Is that the Lord will use us to be the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit as he can speak to us. Faith of the hearing and hearing by the Word of God as we preach the Word of God. That people will be enlightened by the Holy Spirit and come to know him as their personal Savior. So we see that that he will guide us in all truth. He will glorify himself. And so we don't glorify the Holy Spirit. We do mention him and we do honor him. And we want to be guided by him. We don't want to read him. But he points us to Jesus Christ. And so we want to glorify Jesus Christ in this, and that's the reason we don't try to call great attention to the Holy Spirit, although we do, but we don't make him the one person I've had people tell me that unless I'm filled with the Spirit, or they're talking about tongues and so forth, then I'm not really saved. In fact, I had an opening of trying to get my wife He said, what was he talking about? I said, I'll tell you later. So he was off to that one time. And on the scene, he killed his son a couple of times in his life. I looked at him and talked to him. Just 2 months from passing on. And so we see that there are those who want to magnify the Holy Spirit so much so they place him as the agent of salvation. Well, Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin and left the crimson stain, he washed it by his son. So it's only the Holy Spirit who can draw us to the life-giving person of the Lord Jesus. And he is honored whenever Jesus Christ is honored. And of course, the Father is honored when the Lord Jesus comes to the glory of God the Father. And so we see that whenever we reject the Lord Jesus, he says, no, they reject me, reject my Father also. We've already seen that in this passage. And so we see that he is going to comfort us, guide us in all the truth. He's going to glorify and he's going to have us glorify the Lord. And then also, he's going to illumine us. He's going to show us things to come. And he will guide us even in our paths as we look for his will. Now, in saying that, then in the passage that we're going to read, we see in a little while, notice in verse 16, he says, I'll never be with you. So he's going to remind them of things I'm going. But so it's the second verse of certain, the last several times, and he's going to tell them that things are going to change. He says, a little while, and you will not see me again. And again, in a little while, and you will see me because I live in the Father. And some of his disciples said to themselves, what is this that he says, a little while, and you will not see me again, a little while, and you will see me because I live in the Father? They said, therefore, what is that that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, that your sorrow will be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy, no one can take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And Father, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word this morning. And illumine our hearts and our minds. And Father, may we thank you for the joy that you want us to have. And Lord, may we appropriate that fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. So Lord, we know that you come to abide in you and you in us. So Lord, we want that full blessing. We want that full gospel. And all that Lord, we have the full gospel. So Father, we want the fullness of that joy. And we will worship you, the love of the Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit, the peace that we find in the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, may all that be part of the fruits that we have in our lives. And so evident that others see that we have a new song in our mouth, even praise unto you. And many shall see it in fear and shall trust you. Lord, may we be the oracles of this joy. May we be the examples to others. Of the peace that passes understanding of the peace of those who trust you. So, Father, may we find that fullness of blessing, the fullness of your presence in our life as we seek your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Lord wasn't trying to confuse his disciples, but in a great teaching, like any great teacher, he was a master teacher, the greatest teacher to ever walk the face of the earth. He liked to throw little things out there that would get people thinking. And so when he says, a little while, and you will not see me in a little while, you'll see me again, he kind of throws a little petition out there that it makes them suffer. And wait a minute, what is he talking about? And then he gently explains it to them. But the idea of seeing is we know two different, or several different ways of seeing. We know that there's a physical sight. And that's what the Lord is the first little while, and you'll see me no more. Right now, you are seeing me. And later on, we see that John said, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have heard with our ears, which we have touched of the word of life, we declare unto you. So I've seen him. I'm an apostle. I know that I'm a witness of the Lord. And he would definitely go back to this great conference that he had now 60 years earlier in his life. And he said, I know what I saw, and I know whom I believe, and whom I do believe. And so we see that that the Lord is going to, he saw him, but now he said, but again, in a little while, you will not see me physically, but in a little while you'll see me. And he said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And this is the idea of, like we say, do you see what I mean? And you know, like a word is used to say, see what I mean? You know, the idea of, do you understand? And so when we see the Lord now, it's the idea that we understand what the Lord has done, what the Lord, and since Jesus has come into my heart. And so the idea of seeing now is like the great song that we sing, I was blind, but now I see. So the idea is that the Lord Jesus is bringing across his disciples, and it's yes, in the physical sense, you're going to see him. But in the spiritual sense, you're going to see him much, to a much greater degree, and you're going to understand these things much greater after I'm gone than you do now. And you'll have a greater ministry because of the Holy Spirit that I have introduced to you, and you're going to do greater things than I have done. There's 12 of you. You were spread all over the world. I mean, we just have a localized ministry here, but I'm going to send you all over the world. And I'm going to create something that the world has never seen. I'm going to create an institution called the church. And it's going to be the propagation. And it's going to go far beyond your generation. It's going to go for the next 2,000 years. Now, he didn't say that, but we see later on, as we see that the Holy Spirit the revelation of truth is going to be given. We know that that John and others wrote about this great church that was going to happen and what God was going to do through that all the way to the end of to the end time. And so we see the spirit of revelation that the Lord promised to the believers. And of course, in that sense, we have the spirit of revelation. We can seek the Lord. He reveals his truth to us. And when we walk with the Lord in the light of the Word, then we can be guided by the Spirit of truth. And so we can know and we can be prompted by the Holy Spirit to do right rather than wrong. And his way is always right. And he will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So whatever we're doing for the Lord Jesus. And we are doing all for the honor of him, or to his honor. And so we see now that he says, you're not going to see me physically. Now, we know that they're going to go through some great times. This is going to be a great trial for them. To them. Satan, he says, I know that you're going to go through the next few moments. And 4,000 years since I created the earth. But the next few moments, you're going to have the greatest thing that's ever going to happen that's in the history of the world. And the time for the sin of the world on the cross. And there's going to be a lot of people, including Satan, who think Satan won the victory. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be rejoicing for the fact that I'm dead. And you're going to be crying. And you're going to be wondering. And you're going to be sleeping. But, Lord, something more. His anger for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. Even David said that. This whole world is growling and so now we're wanting to see the ultimate time when the Lord Jesus comes again. Because the world is ready for something to happen.
And we see that God is not ready to do something again, right? At this time, we see that these disciples, and notice how the Lord does this, as he illustrates it, he says to them that most assuredly I say to you that, you will weep, in verse 20, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. As a woman, it's interesting that he uses childbirth as an example. Because he says there's going to be a whole new beginning. There's going to be a whole new way of being. And I'm going to create something out of nothing, just like I created it. And then you think about it, that's, you know, what is life? Life is more than the physical, rather than the biology. Life is something that is in him. And, you know, I've been a big little boy, and I've seen four of them born, and what a blessing it is, but each one of them is born, and then they get that first breath, you just, you realize, you know, those sort of born, and then a little bit, but that comes to full, total fruition, and you're thinking from the eye of evidence, what? I mean, something that was created, and God used me part of it to create it, but this person's going to live forever. And, here we see that God is going to create an institution. Just like he created life, he created marriage. That's the reason the world today is trying to destroy marriage and families. Did you see that where politicians and the government established through the Department of Department of Education says that children don't belong anymore to you. We can't trust you. The children trust us to the children. The whole thing that's going on today, that's what some people in the Department of Education are thinking. When you have politicians saying, you're doing this for the children, they're saying, yes, we know more about taking care of the children than you do. And so God created the mother and father to raise children, not the government. So all these things that the world is saying are rejoicing because they think that they're defeating Christ, just like Satan thought he was defeating Christ, that whenever the cross occurred. And later on, Paul tells us that the devil knew that the Lord Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. He would not have crucified the Lord for it. So we see that the devil had his day. And the world had his day. And there were people walking by and said, if he's the Son of God, let him come down from the cross. And of course, there were the disciples who were hiding in terrible fear and disillusionment. And wondering for 3 days what was going to happen. Oh, the joy whenever they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the confusion that had to be worked out. But what a blessing it was to see that the Lord Jesus lived again. And then again, of course, we know that he went to heaven and they saw him no more, or we haven't seen him. But there's one day, and as Manny Crosby says, and my life represented that I crossed the even height, that's the one thing that she wants to see. She wants to see the Lord Jesus Christ. That was physically. She couldn't see in the world because she was blind. But one day she knew that God was going to be reciting again. The first thing she wanted to see was to see. And so that's the way the Lord has played with these terms to keep the interest up. And of course, by this time he's talked to him quite a while. And so he had to kind of think there. Mind a little bit, get them thinking again because, they've been listening to him. And, so he throws this little curve into them and he's been talking to them and he explains and he says, I want your joy. You know, so many times he misses joy. You know, the world remembers the English, for joy, that a human being is going into the world. And, of course, freedom of births now that we're looking at. We're praying for one lady who's is wanting to have a child. And, of course, there's some physical danger there. And we're thinking about Esther and others that are having children. But praise the Lord for Courtney and her child. And, Lord, what a blessing that is. And but each one of those ladies, I'm sure, would say, yeah, it's a little rough, or I know that I asked her if I was a Jew. She said, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, and I thought, okay, I don't understand all that. But, you know, that's just fascinating things to me. And what a blessing that is to know about. I mean, it's a childbearing is a blessing. It's not the curse that, that the world says it is. You know, and I'm so glad that, with Esther, there was no choice. I mean, it's not freedom of choice, it's the blessing of God. And so, I mean, whenever my wife and I had our children, one time I was just kidding her as we went to the hospital, and, the pain, the contractions were coming, and I kind of looked over at her and I said, are you sure you want to go through with this? Well, there's no backing up that time, really. So, and you're going to have a child. Well, the Lord now is going through the birth pains of salvation, of our new birth. He is giving his life for us. And, of course, through that, he is going to be, bringing forth his church and creating something that has never been on the earth before. And that is the church of God that represents him. And we see that even the new way of praying, no longer will there be the need of a temple as far as the physical. The temple is in our hearts. And when we go to God the Father, we go to Him through the Holy Spirit, and we see that for the first time, we are praying His name. In other words, we are dwelling with Him. He tells us that we are to abide in Him and He in us. So we have the Lord Jesus, and so when we go there, we want to find the mind of Jesus, because we want to be able to go to God the Father and present what Jesus wants in our lives, because we know that God the Father wants to fulfill His will through the Lord Jesus and His followers. And so He says, in time past, as we read, you didn't pray in my name, but now I want you to pray in my name. In other words, when we go before the Father, remember how He taught us to pray, our Father? He says, realize that you're coming through me, and it's because of me, and because of your standing with me, that you can go through to the throne of grace, to obtain help in the time of need. And so we see that He says this. And so we see this great blessing that He wants to give to us. Now, what is this joy? And so we see that that He tells us there's going to be weeping for a night. The joy is going to come in the morning. And I love how that the Lord tells us that. Notice how many times in the morning the Lord did something. In the morning, the Lord was born. The shepherds came to Him by night with Him early in the morning. Then at the resurrection, we have that great time where we see the Lord at the grave with Mary and then with the disciples. Then we see it was in the morning that God brought forth the church at Pentecost. And then we know about the 9 o'clock in the morning when Peter started preaching. So it was earlier than that. The Lord appeared to His disciples and to the church and created the church there at Pentecost. The birth of the church. And then we know that the Lord tells us in Revelation 22, He's the bright and morning star. We sang that song, in that glorious morning when the dead in Christ shall rise. So we talk about the morning as far as the Lord Jesus coming again. But we know that if the Lord comes, the Lord comes, then He's going to be coming to us to be night. But of course, with the Lord, He's the light, so He's always the morning. And we know that in heaven there will be no darkness because He is the one. And so He's the bright and morning star. We're not talking about a planet there. We don't worship the heavens or whatever. But notice in Revelation 22. He said, verse 16 and 17. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you in the churches. So we see that this is a testimony for the church. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bride and morning star, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's the church, says come. And let him who hears say come. And let him who thirsts come. And whosoever desires, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That's the message of the church, is to come. Come to the Lord Jesus. Come to the Savior. Just as I am, without one plea, without thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. And so I like the way the Lord says that. I like the good study on that word in the Bible. The Lord didn't tell Noah, after he built the ark, to go into the ark. The Lord says, come into the ark. So where was the Lord? He was in the ark. And we know the ark is the place of safety. And we know that God tells us to come to him. Come unto me, and I will, all you that labor, I will give you rest for your souls. And so we tell people to come to the Spirit. That's the message of this church. People tell people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and have what we have with truth. And that is salvation and eternal life. And the peace that passes understanding, and the joy that God wants to give. And so, folks, we see that God wants us to have joy. People say, well, God wants me to be happy. Yes, we'll find our joy and our happiness in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Now, there is a new joy to come. And those, the Lord tells us that in 1 Corinthians, the writing from Paul, where he says, I have not seen nor ear heard, or entered into the heart of man, the things which God has promised and prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit. Here's our Spirit of revelation. The natural man does not receive that, he says later on. But we have, through the Holy Spirit, received the great blessings of God. And it's just a foretaste. So we just, the things that God has given us, and how that he's opened our eyes, that we were blind, but now we're seeing. And oh, the blood of assurance Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, just a down payment, just earnest money of what God has for those in the future. And so, just the blessing that God has is not a first one that can imagine at all. And no ears can understand it all. But God has prepared some great things. That could be, you know, looking at heaven in the last few verses. Or last couple chapters of the book of Revelation. And it's just so phenomenal you can understand it. Heavenly, the thing that we consider so dear, gold, is nothing but heavenly asphalt. And it's so clear that it's so pure that 1 ounce of that gold is would be worth a whole lot more than the impure gold that's on earth. Just amazing. What God has done. We met the street children were made out of that. So the greatest thing that people fight over is on earth, the things we walk on, and that's a whole different mindset. And the color, the plenty of scope of beauty, the top layer, and the blessings, and coming and going with the eating of the tree of life. I don't understand that. All the things that are going to be in heaven, and then there's going to be life here. What they mean by life is they're not going to be born. I don't understand how I'm going to live for eternity. So many people get on the internet and they're all caught up into to Facebook or whatever because they got to put something in their life because they're bored. They got to fill with something. Well, heaven is going to be full of things and so many things that God has for us. And you say, well, we never get tired. But God says, no, it's going to be eternal life. I don't understand that. But it's probably a great joy to know that I'm going to be there, and I can't understand it. Well, I have not seen the rear of it, but God is going to be there. Most of you can believe that? Heaven's a wonderful place, full of glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful, heaven is a glorious, heaven is a wonderful place. But until then, our heart will go and see it. And so you see that he says that we're going to find joy. I notice, first of all, inviting in my first one of the things he mentioned joy, and in this conference, and so forth. It says, abide in me and I in you. You know that great passage in Christian, chapter 15, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Then he goes on, he says, these things I've done spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So the Lord Jesus was not a sack of potatoes that lived on the face of the earth, not knowing why he was here, where he was going, and he was just a martyr. The Lord Jesus, he came with a purpose, and he died with a purpose, and he rose with a purpose. Everything he did was a purpose. It was the secret thing that was lost. And so we see that he said, I have a joy. Now we will live with a man's joy. And we can have sorrow, but not that I have experience in my life. But even in the secret sorrow, the Holy Spirit can bring joy. We found that through the Holy Spirit. The peace that passes understanding. All those times that you never want to go through again, because it's beautiful and it's essential. But what God reveals to us in those difficult times, those weeping for the night times, those childbirth times when our old soul feels like it's just coming out from us. And yet God deals with us and gives us that peace and the assurance that we are His and that He is our. And so we can lean on the Lord Jesus Christ and know that joy. God wants that joy to be born. And so, even in the times of sorrow, God wants to choose for us in His presence of joy in the Spirit. But then also, you know, this is John 26, chapter 16, verse 24. He says, until now you've asked me nothing. But now as you pray in my name, He says, ask and you will receive, that again your joy may be full. God wants us to find joy in prayer. He wants us to be excited about what He has for those that trust Him. So again, the joy that we have as we commune with Him. Come down the fountain of every mountain and low fountain. Tune my heart to sing my grace. Lord, tune me up that I want you to have that joy in your spirit. A new song in my mouth. He is praying to you. The many shall see you here. He shall trust in you. And so again, spirit-filled Christians are singing Christians. They sing to themselves. And songs of Him, and spiritual songs, and the Word of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. That teaches us so many things about life. We want to have that joy, and that joy in your soul. I've seen some of the deepest sorrows, and many of you have, and other things you have, and things that you like, that we go through, that we, as we weep those to weep, as we rejoice with those in joy. And we see, and I know in my personal life, we have too. During that time of the Holy Spirit, really special in our life. I don't know if it's going to happen. I know I probably will. But even in those times, I look back at what God gave me in those times, and with joy and peace that passes understanding through the Holy Spirit abiding in my life, that means so much. And so this is what God has promised. He would not leave us comfortless. He would not leave us without a helper. He brought the Holy Spirit to the point to Him. And so then you see also, in John 17, as the Lord is praying to the Father, we see, again, He says, and now I come to you, come to His Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word. So what did God leave for us to have joy? The Word of God. It's the Word of faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but joy comes from the Word of God, because we have faith in it. If we could stand on the promises of Christ like King, through eternal ages, let the praises sing. So here we see that the Lord blesses those who would trust Him. So in studying His Word, that's why the preaching of the Word is to them that perish foolishness. But to us that are saved, it's the power of God. And that's the reason we want to meet with one another. That's the reason we're not going to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because it's the preaching of the Word, the entrance of the Word that gives light. And as it gives light, it gives joy. It gives direction. It gives all the comfort and the blessing that we need as we walk in life, trusting Him and depending on the Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts in these areas. And so again, we see the study of His Word and the preaching of the Word. But then also, we're obeying His Word. He says, you're my friends if you keep my commandments. But as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have felt. So notice He says now, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Now, we talk about John and how that he's good with his statements at the beginning and ending. But, give a whole lot, maybe I'll give an epilogue. And He says, that which I've seen with my eyes, which I've heard, which I've touched, I know He's the Word of life. And now I'm declaring it unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. Isn't that what we want? In Disney's letter, I will put that in there. That, yes, we want to have fellowship. We want you to have fellowship with us. but truly our fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And we hope that by you coming and having fellowship with us this morning, that you're a little closer to the Lord because you have fellowship with us. Isn't that what it's all about? Don't you want to be a blessing to others? Isn't that what it's all about? I want others to feel blessed by God because they've been around me. Oh, how sad it is that Satan makes us bitter, he makes us all upset, and we get angry with one another. People say, who wants that? But the natural flow of Christianity is that we want others to have fellowship with us because they're going to have fellowship with God if they have fellowship with us. I love it, and I've had it a couple of few times in my ministry. One man that's still raising 5 kids, and they're all grown now, I guess, but he said, when he came into the church, he said, I just felt the Lord in the pew. Well, our church is not perfect, and I've never had a perfect church. If I had not here, it might be a little bit more perfect, but you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace like you are. And I feel like if Paul says, the Lord came into the world to save sinners, but who am I in chief? I'm worse than you guys. Well, that's what Paul would say. And so, you know, as the Holy Spirit gets closer to you, the more you realize what a sinner you are. And yet we know that the Lord's saving us. And what a blessing it is to know that God can use that conviction in our lives to get us closer to Him, and then other people see it. And they fear and they shall trust in the Lord. And this is what John says. He said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And these things we run into you, and your joy, there it is. We want people to have joy. That your joy may be full. Walk in the light, as you are in the light, as He is in the light. And we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cover us from all of our sins. So, as we walk in the light, what should be the natural response of Christians who are walking in the light? We have fellowship one with another. Doesn't mean we don't have this freedom. Doesn't mean that we can't control everybody from earth. We can try to tell people that if you don't disagree with me, well, you're not thinking. Or one of us isn't. But every one of us, we have things that we like better than other things. We have different tastes. We have different ideas. That's the great thing about how God can blend all those things together and still can build the church state. Build fellowship together as we walk in the light. And so we see this walking is a lifestyle. Walking in the light means that you get to the point where you play one foot in front of another, and you get to the point where you're not thinking about it anymore. Not that Will Evers came here, he might even have whispered, but Evers, what a blessing it is to see that his mom sees him, she hasn't chased him, but walking across, but he's not even thinking about putting one foot in front of another, because in fact, a few weeks ago, he loves putting one foot in front of another. And he had to think about every step. But now it's in the courageous rotary right around. You know, there again, that's what walking is. You get to the point where you're just following the Lord so much that it becomes second nature. That you're going to go to church. You're going to pray. You're going to love the brother. You know that many of the pastors left the wife because they love the brother. You know, the public brother and abide to death. So, you know, all these things that God starts doing in our lives because we want to, not because we have to. I still marvel. Sometimes I'll get up in the morning on Sunday, and I know that I'm supposed to be here. So I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of people that are all here that have ended up this way and come here and preach. That's scary. I mean, you know, for one thing, why do they want to come here in a week? And, or whatever, but it's not me, it's the word that I hope it gets out, you know, there's him. And I'm sure that's true, and he's a school teacher, and he's like, why would he not want to come to hear me? But it's not, they're not wanting to hear me, they want to hear the word of God. And so here we see again that God placed that want to. Why are you here this morning? God is wanting you here that my government meeting said, you're going to be a church this morning. And here's the Holy Spirit response. What a blessing that is. Because we don't have fellowship anymore. We don't have fellowship around the world. People walk to get with other Christians. That's all part of it. And so we see that as we walk in the light, we have fellowship. And then we see that talking about Christ, and here again, John. And this second epistle that he wrote, he said, having many things to write to you. I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak to you face to face, that our joy may be full. It was good talking to people that haven't been in church in a long time. I've been in too many meetings this morning, but it's good to text. But it sure is good to see faces this morning, isn't it? I treat it like to everyone's following and return on shake hands, but just tell people, too, it's so good to be in a lot of places. You know why? Because it's good to be in culture. It's good to be to the presence of the Lord. John hungered for it, loved. And here he is, a 90-year-old man, he's still with parents. Then, of course, he tells us the reading of the fact in Luke chapter 2, where the angel says, I come to you, I'm bringing you the gospel. I want good tidings to you. I'm bringing you good news, the gospel. And all this may have a great joy. I think good tidings are great joy. That's what I want you to have. And he says, which shall be to all people, it's all to all. Whosoever will may come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Whosoever. Believe in me, shall not perish. That's what God wants. God wants that joy. And the Spirit and the Bride. The last appeal in the Bible. Revelation 3 to the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and the Bride through us say, come, come to me. That's our joy. That is our message. That is what we want to bring. That's what we want people to have, but that's what we want to experience in our own lives. The joy, that our joy may be full, and that others will see it, and they will come to know the Lord Jesus every day. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the joy that is in your word and the discovery of the fullness of joy that can be provided through the Holy Spirit as we apply the joy to our lives. Lord, we thank you for the joy that comes when a person turns from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to yourself. Oh, Lord, we know that in this world there's going to be sorrow. We know there's going to be darkness and confusion. But we know, Lord, that you know the way through it. And that you will lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And so that we come to the Father in your name, knowing that we are praying to the perfect throne of heaven. And Father, we thank you that we can call you Father because of not what we have done, but because of what you have done in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we have that joy, Lord, just to see Father. Oh, Father, may we experience it as we are focused in our lives. May others see it. May, Lord, it consume us as we would live for you. Lord, deliver us from bitterness. Deliver us from the defeat of sin. Deliver us, Lord, from the acrimony of the world. Oh, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. And we know that your Spirit, when we hear the Lord that we love, is going to be joy. There's going to be peace. There's going to be great blessing, not only to the person who possesses the Holy Spirit, but to those around. Oh, bless us, Lord, as we seek and serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, and we will turn to hymn number